Good morning.
Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for this amazing privilege again, Lord, just to be in your presence today. And Lord, today we want to proclaim that we want to see the God that sees. In Jesus' name, amen. You see, the theme is, I have seen the God who sees. Now, the God who sees is eternal. He sees the past, the present, and the future at any given time, all together. You know, we've spoken about the five senses last week and or the week before, and we know how important it is to see. The physical eye is the second most important organ, and they say that there's 10 million little cells in the eye that are constantly busy working and sending signals, etc. If they have to build a supercomputer, they will build one that will take 100 years for that computer to process what the eye processes in 1 second. So that's how important it is. But it also, we speak of a spiritual eye. And Jesus compares our eyes to spiritual understanding and discernment, saying that if the blind leads the blind, they both will fall into the ditch, in Matthew 15:14. And one of Jesus' most frequent miracles was to make the blind to see. And then he says, Paul writes in Ephesians 1:18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. But today I want to begin with a story of a man called Abram, before he was Abraham, and his wife Sarah. Abraham was called at some stage to leave everything behind. His inheritance, he had to leave behind everything that had meaning to him, and he had to leave because God was showing him something in the future. Now, he was approximately 74, 76 years old, and Sarai was about 10 years younger. And she was barren, which means she couldn't have children. And then they were promised by God that they will bear a son. Because remember, we know the promise that Abraham got from God. But in 10 years' time, nothing happened. So Sarai got a bit impatient. And And we know the story, we're going to read a little bit about it. But we're not really going to focus today on Abraham and Sarai. I want us to focus today on that young slave girl called Hagar, who became the mother of Ishmael, and he again who became the father of the Arab nation. And we will see this morning how much God loves the Arab nation. And we can read there from Genesis 16, verse 1 to 16. Verse 1, it says, Sarai was Abram's wife, but she did not have any children. She had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. Verse 2, Sarai told Abram, the Lord has not allowed me to have children, so sleep with my slave. Maybe she can have a son, and I will accept him as my own. Abram did what Sarai did. I don't want to go too deep into this, but he accepted very fast. You know, if you really look at the traditions of that time, a woman didn't tell a man what to do. So she must have been a nagging wife. So they say in verse 3, so after living 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai gave her Egyptian slave to Abram as a second wife. And aren't we sometimes like that as well? We become like Sarai in life when we have difficult times, that we outrun God and we want to do it on our own. And this is exactly what she's done. In verse 4 we read, Abram slept with Hagar and she became pregnant. But when Hagar realized this, she became very proud and began to feel that she was better than Sarai, her owner. I don't think that's exactly how it happened. Remember, she was a slave. She was abandoned. She was treated the lowest of the low. And suddenly, she was carrying a seed of the father of all nations. That was a privilege. So there must have come some sort of pride with her. But then in 5 it says, then Sarai said to Abram, my slave girl now hates me, and I blame you. Wow. Men, listen to this. Let's stand still for a moment there. She comes, she's impatient. She gives this young slave girl to her husband and say, sleep with her. And now she comes and says, it's your fault. I gave her to you, and she became pregnant. Then she began to feel that she's better than I am. I want the Lord to judge which of us is right. And then Abram came with his wisdom, and he said to Sarai, she's your slave. You can do whatever you want with her. So Sarai was cruel, hard, and actually harshly is the right word there. if we go back to the Hebrew, to Hagar, and Hagar ran away. Just for a moment, think about this. There's this young girl that's been taken into slavery. She's been a slave all her life. She's got no voice. Now suddenly, she's carrying the seed of the father of all nations. And then, suddenly rejected by him with the seed of a son inside her. But also harshly treated by her mistress, Sarai. And if you look at that harshly in the Hebrew meat, it means to treat someone in an inhuman way. This word harshly was used to describe also the way in which the Egyptians or the Pharaoh was treating the Israelites when they were still in slavery. So this was the uppermost severe oppression and abuse. Now here comes Hagar. She moves from the favorite surrogate mother suddenly to be harshly treated and abandoned. But I think there's so much more that we can learn from Hagar's story, because Hagar found herself in a position of despair and being rejected, being mistreated by a mistress and rejected by the father of the child. And then, I believe, out of humiliation and this rejection and out of desperation, she just fled into the wilderness because she couldn't take the abuse anymore. And when she was in the, where did she find her? Alone, defenseless, hungry, thirsty, and most of all, she was pregnant. Now, many of the mothers sit here, you know what it's like just to, in this weather of 30, 31. Imagine this young girl with nobody, with a child within her in 45, 50 degree sun. And her name meant flight. And that means to escape, to run away or avoid something. So she really outlived her name, to flee. Can you maybe this morning relate to Hagar's story in your own life? Perhaps our circumstances is not exactly the same. But have you been in times where you felt rejected, where you've been abused, where you've been abandoned? It could be at home, it could be at work, by friends. Maybe you were neglected or abused as a child. Maybe you mistreated, you were hurt or betrayed by family members or friends. If I have to ask this morning for hands, I think everybody would raise their hands this morning. Have you been wondering, some stage of life, does anyone care about me? Have you wondered about it? I was there. Does anyone actually know what I'm going through right now? And I think this is the questions that was in Hagar's head the whole time, and what she was thinking over and over and over. And I can just think how negative she was. Didn't you sometimes wonder if God sees your burden and if he cares? Maybe you also cried out, God, do you see what I'm going through? You may have wondered, out of all the billions of people, do God even recognize me? But let's pick up the story up from verse 7 again. Verse 7, it says, that is where the angel of the Lord, and let's just call the angel, where the Bible in the Old Testament speaks of the angel of the Lord, we know it is Jesus. So where the angel of the Lord found Hagar near the spring water in the desert, the spring was by the road of Shur. She was found by God means you can only find something if you are searching for it. So this means God was searching for this young Egyptian girl, slave, in the desert. And what is so interesting, Shur was the same place, the wilderness, where the Israelites had to go through before they went through the Red Sea. Now she was taken as a slave and now running back to her inheritance, but there was nothing for her. You see, here God's coming, verse 8. This is, I want to stand still a moment here. And he said, Hagar, servant. And you'll see in the Bible there's commas, which means there was a moment, I believe, where God paused for that moment. When you call your boy and you say, Jan, and you don't say anything, immediately he knows, I must listen to my father or mother now. And this is what he said, Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I'm running away from Sarai, my master's wife. You see, but the thing is, the revelation that I got here is that God called and he was addressing her by her name. Remember now, for most of her life with Abraham and Sarai, she was called. You can read through that piece and you will see they call her your slave or my slave? That was her name. And suddenly now, she's been addressed by God, Hagar. So, but when God found Hagar at the well, the first words out of his Eve mouth, the first was Hagar. Wouldn't that be amazing? Remember last week, we also spoke about that divine meeting with God. And this is what happened here. So God came here. The moment she felt, nobody's caring about her. I'm abandoned. There's nobody that loves me. There's nobody in the world. I'm running back to a country that I haven't seen most of my life. They won't even remember me. At that moment when she was in that despair, the worst place she comes, she hears her name. And immediately, listen to this, immediately her identity and purpose for life was restored. Remember when Jesus was standing in the Jordan and John was baptizing him. God came and he said, there is my son. And the moment he said that, he gave identity to Jesus. And this is what happened here. But let's look at the first part of the question where God says here in verse 8. He says, where have you come from? And again, God, there's a pause. He said, where have you come from? I'm sure she was so shocked when God, because this might be the first time in her life that anybody has recognized and even asked her, where you're coming from. Everybody just knew her as the slave girl from Egypt. But when you look at the Hebrew roots, it means, what God meant, it means, where have you been brought from? There's a difference. You see, God is asking because he knew where she came from. He knew she came, she was part of the Exodus from Egypt into the promised land. But see, the relation is in the brought out of, is in this. If you have to ask me this morning, where are you from? I would most probably answer you from Mayerton. And then, but if you would ask me, where have you been brought from? I will start a young boy that was very sick. God healed his heart. And you know my testimony at the end, trying to commit suicide, etc. And that will be where brought from. You see, and this is what's making the difference. And I have been brought from that to here. We sang it as well, that we from the darkness into the light. You see, that at that moment when that happened in my life, and the same thing with Hagar, there was transformation. Because God called my name. So there was transformation immediately that took place. Like with Paul at the Damascus. You see, Hagar had an encounter with God at the well. And he restored her and he positioned her for a purpose. So when God's doing that, when he's done it to me, I could not turn her around and go back to my former life. I can't do that. And she knew she couldn't do that as well. And we can see the similarities here of the difference between her story and our story. Finding ourselves so many times. When there's times of trouble and difficulties, we run away. We run away. Instead of thinking of the day where we've been brought from. And so many times we run away back to the desert where God found us the first time. How many of you have been in that same place with God on your knees? And you realize, but listen, this exact same thing I'm asking God happened 5 years or 5 months ago. You see, there's different desert seasons or storms in our life. Now, the first one, some of you might find you this morning, like Hagar, in the midst of a storm right now in the desert. Some of you might just have come out of a storm or out of your desert season. You see, or maybe some of you are about to enter into the desert or a storm. You see, I have experienced storms and difficulties and discover that the storms that's coming, it's just part of life. You see, we should never focus on our circumstances. We should focus on the source of our victory. You see, some of the storms was ones that I have created because of disobedience to God, because of wrongdoings, because of my wrong choices I made in life, my wrong actions. And I actually invited those storms to be part of my life because it was my decision. But there are times when the storms are created by our enemy, Satan. And he would do it, and we can see it even with Jesus when he was led by the Spirit into the desert. Who was there waiting for him in the desert? at the dry place is Satan. And there he has the reason to destruct and to destroy and to disarm us from our inheritance. But see, the third one, and this is the story, there's a third kind of storm in our lives. The kind that in difficult times that we did not create, wasn't created by Satan, but is created by other people. You see, Hagar finds herself in the storm in the desert, not because of her own doing. She did nothing wrong. Because of another woman that have chased her away because of abuse. You see, and this is what happens sometimes. We are finding ourselves in this place, in this desert, destituted because of other people's decisions. And this kind of storms are tough to handle. I've been in them. It's tough to handle. People say, I'll just build a bridge and get over it. That's not so easy. I promise you, it's not so easy. Because you carry the consequences, the pain, the rejection, the abandonment that other people caused in your life. I mean, here's this young girl in the desert. It wasn't her fault. It was caused by another woman that should have been her mistress looking after her. So whenever you run away, you will find yourself in the desert where the enemy will be waiting. But you know what? Do not worry. Be a warrior. Because there, at that exact place where Hagar was found by God, God will find you again. And there's a place where you must just be sensitive for the voice of God, because you will hear Him calling your name like He did with Hagar. But see, the secret that we must never forget is that where has God brought you from? Not where you are from. Where has God brought you from? That's the foundation. That's that day that you had that encounter with Jesus Christ. That's the most important day of your life. That's the day you were transformed. That's the day you've been made a new creature. And this is what God meant when He asked Hagar, where have you been brought from? You see, we must remember, Hagar was just part of a package, a business deal between Abram and the Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh wanted the plagues to stop. So he just handed everything, even his slaves, everything, over to Abram. So the plagues could stop. Where did God brought you from? Out of what crises? Out of what difficult times? You see, sometimes we forget. We sometimes come to a small hill. But God has already helped us in the past to conquer mountains. But we come and we bow down before these hills. Hierdie klein koppietjies, this little high places. That's nothing according to the mountains that God took us over. Think of that crisis, that difficult times. Think and remember that moment that God has saved you from that place of darkness and brought you into the light. Now the second part of verse 8. Then God asks, where are you going? Now Hagar was on her way to Shur, which is part of the northern part in the desert of Egypt. And it's interesting to find that Hagar, the mother of a grandmother of the Arab people, was brought from Egypt on her way and now back to Egypt. Didn't make sense. There was nothing there for her. As I said in the beginning, there was nothing awaiting this girl. But now you must for a moment just think of the abandonment and the abuse that she had to go through in that short bit of time by Sarai. So today, are we running away? Are you busy running away this morning? Remember, if you run back to the desert or your old life, there's going to be nothing awaiting you. There's nothing for you there. So God asks this morning, my son, my daughter, where are you going? To me, the center of the story is God found Hagar in the middle of a storm and in her greatest need. Genesis 69 says, the angel of the Lord said to her, Sarai. Sorry, I'm just going to, yeah. Sorry, I just lost my place here. When I get excited, it always happens. Sarah is your owner. Go home to her and obey her. Verse 10, and the angel of the Lord said, your seed will be greatly increased so that if it may not be numbered. And 11, and the angel of the Lord said, see, you are with child and will give birth to a son to whom you will give the name Ishmael, because the ears of the Lord were now open to your sorrow. Ishmael means that the Lord have heard. Every time the mother calls his child Ishmael, God has heard. God is hearing us. You see, God do not only see you, but he also hear our cries. He see and he hear our sorrows. God is feeling with us. That's why he sent his son to die for us on the cross. In verse 12, and he will be like, and now here comes the promise, the prophetic word over the son. And he will be like a mountain as among men. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. And he will keep his place against all his brothers. If you think about the crisis and the difficulties in Palestine today, in the Arab nations, you know where it's from. Now, if let's say that was your son, and the angel of the Lord gave you this word, prophetic word over your son. I think many of us say, wait, I wouldn't like this word to be spoken over my son. But remember who Hagar was. For Hagar, this was the greatest news, the greatest breakthrough in her whole life she ever had. God has seen her. God is giving her a personal promise. And she knew at that moment that he, her son, Ishmael that was born, will never be oppressed, will never be a slave, will never have the fate that is over her life. Because he will be like a mountain as among men. And they say, and he will keep his place against his brothers. And isn't that what God has done for us? By his son? There was also a seed for me and you. A seed called Jesus. And that seed was born to do exactly this, so that we will keep place against. And God is doing, he is the warrior for us, Jesus. We don't have to do the war for ourselves. So at that moment when God released Ishmael's name, he released the seed of new hope on Hagar and gave her new vision and destiny. The moment he spoke that word. Isn't that amazing that God himself is naming your child? The angel of the Lord we know is Jesus. And this is why I say, isn't it amazing how much God loves the Arab nation? You see, Jesus is also that seed of hope for the whole world. Verse 13. And I think this is the center of our message today. The Lord talked to Hagar. Listen to this. She began to use a new name for God. She said to him, "You are God who sees me." For she said, "Have I not even here in the wasteland had a vision of God and am still living?" What she says in the second part is, it means that, have I truly seen the one who sees me? I have truly seen the one who sees me. And this is the revelation this morning, that when Hagar used the new name for God by saying, El Rohi, this unimportant, abused, rejected young girl that had no value and was used and abused. This was a very serious form of abuse because she was forced onto another man. Those times the laws was different. But for Sarah and Abram's gain, not for her gain. When she had that baby, it would have been given over to Abram and Sarah. But the most amazing thing here, nowhere else in the Bible, male, female, Jew, Gentile, is there anybody who named God personally? You can go and read. She said, "You are the God who sees me." You see, and God is today the same God as then. And he's declaring that he sees you and me this morning as well. And he wants us to know that we are just as important as Hagar was in a desert season. God sees you and me this morning. Say, God sees. Now the second part of verse 13, have I not even here in the wasteland had a vision of God and am still living? Have I truly seen the God who sees? So the revelation is not this morning only in the fact that we now know that God sees. But the revelation is here that you must see that God sees. And this is what Hagar found out. Her revelation was, suddenly she found out that she's seeing the God who sees. So have I truly seen the God who sees? You see, and now the God who came and who saw the whole world and saved the whole world now becomes a personal God who sees you personally and saved you personally. verse 14 to 16. So that fountain was named Beer Lahai Roy. Beer Lahai Roy means fountain of life and vision. Fountain of life and vision. Now, this fountain of life and vision was between Kadesh, which means holy. That's in the western parts of Syria today. And Bered, which is in the southern parts of Palestine. So you can see how far she had to walk in any case. And then it came that Hagar gave birth to a child, the son of Abram, to whom Abram gave the name of Ishmael. I'm still trying to figure that out. So what I read is that Abram himself got from God what the son's name must be. Because Abram named him. Because in those years, the mom, the mother, didn't give a name. It was always the inheritance, the father, the grandfather gave the name. So Hagar gave birth to a child, a son Abram, the son of Abram, to whom Abram gave the name Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. But where did it happen? It happened there at the fountain of life and vision. You see, in the middle of this desert, in the middle of your storm, God is there. There's a well for you, for each one of us. There's a well that God will dig up the moment you're in distress and in despair. You see, and it's here at the fountain of life and vision where God changed Hagar's destiny by naming her son and making her son the hope for her future. That's where she got hope for the future. Suddenly she had meaning to live. Future through the seed of her son. In verse 11, God said, his name Ishmael means because I heard. You see, Hagar was lower than low. No voice, I said it in the beginning as well. Carry the seed who will be called God hears. And then our seed of hope is Jesus Christ. And see, this is the seed that we have to implant or plant into and sow into the world of today. You see, there's so many people at this moment in the desert. Don't worry about the water. There's a well. You just go and you just sow the seed today. We have to sow the seeds. You see, she was without vision. There was no hope. And we know that hope is the confidence, desire, or expectation on something yet to come that we can't see yet. That's something that we can't see. And that's where faith as well comes in. Because without vision, and this was Hagar, without vision you have no hope. And without hope you have no purpose. And that's that. That's the reason why we sometimes backslide a little bit. Take the wrong turn off and we find ourselves back in the desert. I love this verse in Philippians 3 verse 14. I run towards the goal so that I can win the prize of being called to heaven. This is the prize that God offers because of what Jesus Christ has done. So God wants us to run, but run towards the goal, not towards where we're from or brought from into the wilderness. Always remember, when you leave God and you want to go back to your former life, you will have to go through the wilderness. You will have to go through the desert. When you are disobedient to God, you will find you in a place where you will have to go through the desert back into the promised land. And you don't want to cross the Red Sea every time. Last week we said that each of us have a destiny and a very unique purpose to fulfill God, what God has planned for you. Like in this story of Hagar. We lost our vision. We fled into the wilderness until we are seen and found by God. And where God then restores us to see that He is the God who sees. I want you to let God engrave that words in your heart this morning. That He enlighten the eyes of your heart this morning. That you see that you need to see the God who sees. It's so easy. Sometimes people, you know, they say they know Jesus. And then I say, but okay, Prison Mandela, did you know him? Yes. Did he know you? No. I say, that's a difference. That's the difference. There's a relationship. He knows you. But sometimes we don't recognize that he knows us. And the world sees it in our fruit. It sees it in the seed that we are sowing. And we look around and we can't understand what is wrong. What is wrong around us? We do so much, but we are not. We do not sow a pure seed. Sometimes we It's the gospel, but we flavor it, we sugarcoat it a little bit so that people will love it, that people will be entertained by the seed. You see, this seed was paid a high price. There's no entertainment. Even the seed of Hagar, Ishmael, was a seed that was carried. It was tough. I believe as that young girl, because they were very young in those days, that she really had to go through troubled times to bear that baby. So for Hagar, hope came through the name of Ishmael. You see, through this story, we can learn that God is faithful when the rest of the world abandons you, when the rest of the family, your children, your husband, doesn't matter what, turn their backs on you. God is faithful and merciful. He's done it for a young Egyptian girl that was a slave. She was a nobody. I want you to see this morning. She didn't even have the value of one of the donkeys in those times. So the story reminds us that God hears, but He also answers. It reminds us this morning that God's grace is sufficient and that God has a plan for you, like He had a plan for Hagar. And always remember, patience, because God's timing is always perfect. Sometimes God is very slow for us, but He's never too late. Interesting that Hagar's name also means forsaken, abandoned, which means abandoned or deserted. Now, the story of Hagar is not recognized by many people. There's not many teachings about it. But I want to tell you today that this is a very unique story of hope about a divine encounter with God. This is what it was all about. Everything could have stayed, but that divine encounter that she had with God Himself, with Jesus, that encounter that you had with Jesus brought the transformation and brought the restoration in your life. Nothing else. Not the nice message the pastor brought, nothing. Your personal encounter with our Savior. And this is what she had. She had a personal encounter with Jesus. It teaches us that He's merciful and compassionate, and that God is looking beyond your failures. Oh, my friends, how many times we are so quickly to take offense in our hearts, so quickly to batter ourselves, to convict ourselves, and to feel that we have failed. God, I don't say like us to fail, but He loves to work through failures. And we've seen it over and over and over. We've seen it with Job last week as well. And it's only through His grace that you are saved. So this morning, He's not looking onto your failures. God is seeing this morning one thing. He's seeing the seed of a son called Jesus Christ. And that's why there's mercy on you and me. And that's why there was mercy on Hagar in the middle of the wilderness. God also gave us hope in the name of Jesus. You see, our hope is in that name above all names. You see, God who saves, that's what Jesus means. The name that every tongue will confess and every knee will bow to. We will see it one day where every tongue will confess it. Even those who are mocking Christ, those who are turning their back, will proclaim that He is the Savior. And they will bow down before the King of Kings. God is asking you today, do you see that I see? Say, I see. Do you hear me calling your name like I've done with Hagar? Hagar, just listen this morning. And you will hear the most beautiful words when He says to you, my beloved son, and call your name. My beloved daughter, and call your name. Because God says this morning, my son, daughter, hope is found in seeing me. And your hope is found in the name that I called you to be. Not what you think you should be, but the name I called you to be. God says, I am searching for you this morning. He says there in John 10:3, I know your name. You are my precious child. I know each and every one of my sheep. God knows your smell this morning, because sheep has a very distinct smell. That's how the mother knows out of 100 or 200 little lambs, which is hers. Jesus knows you by name. And not only is your name known to me, but I have it engraved on the palm of my hand. In Isaiah 49:16 is what God's saying this morning. Take this to heart. Your name is engraved onto the hand of God. Is there any father who's got his son's names engraved in the palm of the hand? God says this morning, and this is a word I just want to speak over you this morning, that God says, my sons, my daughters, I hear your cries in the wilderness. I have a hope and a future for you. I want to transform you today like I did with Hagar in the wilderness. You are an extension of my kingdom, my hope, my future. I want you to see those who are forgotten, to see those without voices, to see those who feel invisible like Hagar, those who gave up on life. I want you to search and look for them and see them like I did for you and remind them of who they really are in me. Psalm 147, the Lord says, I am the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. God says, I restored Hagar's wounded and weary heart. I will do it for you. This morning, your heart will be healed by God. It's a promise. God says, I see you, my child. I know the very number of your hairs on your head. Matthew 10:30. Wow. A father that knows how many hairs his child's got on the head, that's amazing. He must love us. And Luke 12:7, he says, and you are worth more than the merry sparrows in the skies. And Psalm 139:13-14, he says, I took an intimate interest in forming you, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that all of my works, that's being you now, are wonderful. God says, I love you so much, I send my only son to die for your sins. God says this morning, let me remind you this morning who I am. He says, I am the Prince of Peace. He says, I am the everlasting Father, and I am the mighty God. He says, I am the God who sees. I am the God who calls you personally by your name. I have a name for you. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter, and I am deeply in love with you. Jesus say, I'm searching for you, and I'm waiting in the wilderness at the well of Kadesh and Bered, the well of life and vision. Don't you like to stand? Just close your eyes this morning and just await that personal encounter with Jesus again this morning, with the Holy Spirit. We know He's our comforter. He's been left behind, and He's acting this morning. He's getting commands out of heaven, because there's people that's standing here this morning who doesn't know where the next bread is coming from tomorrow. There's people that's standing here that heart is broken in pieces and that feels that I cannot go on like this in my life. I cannot put up this front anymore. There's some of you standing here with me this morning and feel, Lord, I'm not at the place where you want me. I stay. If I find myself, I'm like the Israelites. I'm around the mountain in the wilderness. Lord, I want to see this morning that you see me. I'm crying out with my heart this morning. I say, Lord, let your Holy Spirit come this morning. Let your Holy Spirit have freedom in this place this morning, Lord. And visit each person in this place. And investigate each heart this morning, Lord, with your healing power. Lord, we are like Hagar's this morning. In the middle of a storm. And we're focusing on the circumstance. We're focusing on the fears of the storm. But in the boat, you, Jesus, are with us in the boat. And you curse that storms in our life. You open the wells of vision and life in our lives this morning. Lord, and we want to drink from this well this morning. Lord, we open our hearts. Lord, we open all five of our senses this morning. We want to just experience you this morning, Lord, through the Holy Spirit. I say, Lord, see me this morning. See me for who I am. Lord, I'm broken. I'm lost. I'm abandoned. I'm rejected, Lord. I have all this of forgiveness in my heart this morning, Lord. I can't forgive. Lord, I feel abandoned because of all these fears. Lord, I've got so much shame in my life for things I've done. Lord, I feel guilty. Lord, I'm in despair. Holy Spirit, just come on to us this morning. Lord, we're like the 120 in our upper room this morning. And we just await you this morning, Lord. Just touch us from heaven. Just touch us, Lord, this morning. Just touch and heal the sick this morning. Lord, there's people here this morning that have broken bodies. Lord, their bodies, there's something in the body. It might be the backs or it might be an organ. It might be diabetes this morning, Lord. They're everything, Lord, you come this morning. And by the power of the blood that we sang early on, Lord, you will bring healing in those people this morning. Lord, we stand here this morning and we say, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for abandoning you. We forget sometimes we are abandoning you, Lord. And we run into the wilderness, but we come back this morning. We are your lost sons and daughters this morning. Say, Lord, we open our hearts for you this morning. Lord, we've got the seed of your son. We are the light of the world. We are the salt. We are the flavor of this world, Lord. So, Lord, I pray this morning that you will bring restoration this morning in each and every person's life. Whatever that might be this morning, just bring restoration this morning, Lord. I can just feel the power of the Spirit moving this morning. Lord, bring transformation in our life. Just transform us this morning, Lord, from the darkness into the light. Because as Christians, sometimes we are hiding in the darkness. We are hiding in the wilderness. Lord, bring us out of that right now. Give us the command, like the angel told Hea, go back where you're from. And serve. And this is what we want to do, Lord. We want to serve you with all our heart. We want to see this morning the God that sees. We are excited this morning, Lord. There's joy in our heart. There's happiness in our heart. We jubilee, Lord, this morning. We scream from the rooftops this morning that our King is alive. The world must know that you are the only hope. You are the only seed that brought the hope. There's no other hope than you. No other God above you. You are the King of Kings. And Father God, we just come this morning and we want to surrender all. Lord, we just want to. I want to come myself as well, Lord. I just want to surrender all to you this morning. Everything. I want to be like Abraham. When he left there, he left everything behind. Because you will provide. And we thank you for that. We honor you for that. We praise you for that. We worship you for that. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.